Israel, of course, here in Deuteronomy. And notice, beginning in verse 7, "Remember and forget not how thou provokest the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness, from the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt until ye came unto this place. Ye have been rebellious against the Lord. Also in Horeb ye provoked the Lord to wrath, so that the Lord was angry with you to have destroyed you. When I was going up into the mount to receive the tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant which the Lord made with you, then I abode in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. I neither did eat bread nor drink water, and the Lord delivered unto me 2 tables of stone, written with the finger of God, and on them was written according to all the words which the Lord spake with you in the mount out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days and 40 nights that the Lord gave me the 2 tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant. And the Lord said unto me, Arise, get thee down quickly from hence. For thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They are quickly turned aside out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten image. Furthermore, the Lord spake unto me, saying, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Let me alone, that I may destroy them, and blot out their name from under heaven, and I will make of thee a nation mightier and greater than they. So I turned and came down from the mount, and the mount burned with fire, and the 2 tables of the covenant were in my 2 hands. And I looked, and behold, ye had sinned against the Lord your God, and had made you a molten calf. Ye had turned aside quickly out of the way which the Lord had commanded you. And I took the 2 tables and cast them out of my 2 hands, and brake them before your eyes. And I fell down before the Lord as at the first, 40 days and 40 nights, and did neither eat bread nor drink water because of all your sins which ye sinned, in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. For I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure wherewith the Lord was wroth against you to destroy you. But the Lord hearkened unto me at that time also. And the Lord was very angry with Aaron to have destroyed him, and I prayed for Aaron also the same time. And I took your sin, the calf which ye had made, and burnt it with fire, and stamped it, and ground it very small, even until it was as small as dust, and I cast the dust thereof into the brook that descended out of the mount. And at Taberah, and at Massah, and at Kibroth Hattaavah, and you provoked the Lord to wrath. Likewise, when the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, saying, Go up and possess the land which I have given you, then you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and you believed him not, nor hearkened to his voice. Ye have been rebellious against the Lord from the day that I knew you." So I've entitled the message this morning, Provoked the Lord. Provoked the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, give us your wisdom, your power, your presence. Use your word in our hearts this morning. As we look into it, may we learn, and may we grow, and may you meet needs, and may we be changed. And leave and say it was good to be in the house of the Lord. We give you this time. We pray Jesus Christ, our Savior, would guide us and be lifted up in all that's said and done. We love you. We pray all this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's quite a sad passage, isn't it? It's a good picture of us, really. This spirit of rebellion. There's another passage later on in Deuteronomy where God mentions that Israel provoked him 10 times. And when God said that, he wasn't using that figuratively. They literally provoked him 10 times. And we're going to look at all 10 of those this morning. Just quickly walk through them and understand the ways in which we provoke the Lord. From the example of Israel. Israel, of course, a picture of either an unbeliever or a backslidden Christian, your choice, but the way we shouldn't act as believers in Jesus Christ. And it's interesting that God specifically mentioned the last 5 of the provocations, because in those, that was just total rebellion. In the first 5, God was being patient with them and was trying to teach them lessons. In the second 5, it was just outright rebellion. And so I want to just walk through these 10 provocations and understand the 10 ways, according to God, using the example of Israel, that we can provoke the Lord. So let's start in Exodus chapter 14 and look at the first one. Exodus chapter 14. Now, the first provocation happened right at the beginning. As God mentioned, He talked about from the day that I delivered you from Egypt until now, you've provoked me to anger. And it all began right here at the Red Sea in Exodus 14, verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And so we find out right from the beginning that when we won't trust God, but instead fear the trials that we see around us or our circumstances, it provokes the Lord to anger. I mean, they just witnessed the 10 plagues and saw God deliver them. And their response is to say, you brought us out here to kill us. God was going to show them His power. God was about to work a miracle and part the Red Sea and show them how powerful and mighty He was and how much He loved them. But they started right off with this attitude of disobedience and mistrust. And so we see right from the start that when we fear, it provokes the Lord. Why? Well, all through the Bible, God says, fear not, for I am with thee. Fear not, for I will deliver thee. He told Joshua as they were about to go into the promised land, have not a command of thee, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not. Over and over in the Old Testament, He said, don't fear, don't fear. Psalm 118, He says, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Over and over. Why does it provoke the Lord when we fear? Because what we're saying is God can't take care of us. We're saying that God has made a mistake. We're saying that God has been surprised by this trial or whatever. We have nothing to fear. Bible says, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. And us and God make a majority. Amen? So it's wrong to fear. It is a sin to fear. And it started right there. So let's go to Exodus 15. So number one, we see that they feared and it provoked the Lord. Number two, in Exodus 15, verse 23, the Bible says, when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? I'll ask. Sometimes in our Christian lives, are we asked to drink something that's a bit bitter as far as circumstances that come into our lives? Absolutely. All the time. Trials are part of God's plan. It wasn't a mistake that God brought them to these waters and that they were bitter. God was about to heal the waters and make them sweet. And God can always make the bitter sweet in our lives. But their response wasn't, Lord, we trust You. Lord, we love You. Lord, we know that You're in control. Their response was to complain and to get mad at Moses, murmur against Moses. And it provoked the Lord to anger that they murmured about this bitter water. Folks, if you've been saved for longer than a week, there's going to be some bitter water come into your life. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, if need be, you're in heaven is through manifold temptations. The Bible says, after that you've suffered a while, God make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. You will have trials. Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. There's going to be trials. But how are we going to respond to those trials? To complain? To get mad at God's leader, whoever that might be? That's not the response God wants. That provokes him to anger when the water's bitter. Number three is in Exodus 16. Actually, six of them are right here in Exodus 14 through 17, amazingly. But here in Exodus 16, verse 2, it says, "And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." They murmured because they were hungry. And what a thing to say. We complained for 400 years that you would deliver us from Egypt because we were slaves and mistreated and abused. And you delivered us from Egypt, and now we wish we could go back because we're hungry. Do you think that the Lord will provide our needs? The Bible says He will. The Bible says He'll take care of every need. "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus," right? Philippians 4:19. God's going to take care of us. But Paul said, "I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Sometimes things might be a bit lean. But this was not believing that God will take care of their needs. That provokes God to anger. Why? Because again, what's it saying? That God's not a good father, that He's not a good provider, that He doesn't have the power to take care of us when He does. And He is a good father and He is a good provider. And their response should have been, "Lord, we're hungry, but we're going to trust You." Not, "We'd rather go back to Egypt." And by the way, Egypt pictures the world, always has. How many Christians have you met that have gone back into the world? They got tired of the... Well, we'll talk about that in a few minutes, about the manna. But anyway, so first of all, they feared. Second of all, they complained about the bitter water. And third of all, they didn't trust God to meet their needs. Then we see here in Exodus 16, verse 20, the fourth provocation. The Bible says, "Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them, and they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted." This is the God's response to their hunger was to send manna. Bread from heaven. Amazing. That's beautiful. 40 years of food raining down from the skies. That's what God did for them. And God laid out just a couple of guidelines, I should say rules, about the manna. And one of them was everybody had to gather for themselves. And another one was you had to gather it every day. He did make an exception for the Sabbath. In other words, you couldn't go out and say, "You know what, I'm just going to go gather 7 days worth and then I only have to get it once every week." And sure enough, people tried that. And they left it until the morning and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry because God just said, "Just a couple of simple rules about the manna. Can't you just follow a couple of rules?" But what does the manna picture? It pictures the Word of God. Always has. You say, "Oh, I thought it pictured Jesus because He likened Himself to man in John chapter 6. Exactly. Jesus is the Word of God. And do you think that God wants us in the Word every morning? Absolutely. That is our food. That is our strength. That is our guidance. God wants us to go every morning. We can't just say, "I'm going to go to church on Sunday. I'll open my Bible then and close it for a week." That's not how it's supposed to work. And it provokes God when we skip our nourishment for the day, which is the Word of God. "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby." 1 Peter 2:2. God wants us in the Word, the quick and powerful Word of God, every day. The fifth provocation is in Exodus 16 as well, on down to verse 27. Came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? This one's just people trying to do things their own way. You think man ever does that? There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. God said, gather it every day for that day, gather for yourself, but gather double the day before the Sabbath, and don't go gather on the Sabbath. And so some of them said, well, I'm going to go try to gather some on the Sabbath, and there wasn't any. I'm going to do it my way. God expects obedience. God wants us to do things His way. You know, the Bible says in Jeremiah 10:23, man does not know the way. It is not within man, it's not within him to know the way he's supposed to go. We don't know. We need God's direction. And we can't try to do things our own way, or it provokes the Lord. And most of us know that passage, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and all that was... You know the passage, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Give it to Him. Trust not in thine own way. And then number 6 is in Exodus 17, verse 1. All the congregation of children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness to Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? When you read these as a package, it's quite amazing, isn't it? Murmur, complain, get mad at Moses, get mad at God. The God that just rescued them, the God that is raining down food from the skies, the God that brought water from a rock and kept their shoes from wearing out. Every turn, it's murmur and complain and murmur and complain. And this sixth one here, we see they don't believe that God will nourish them. And we know that God's answer was to bring water out of a rock. And we all know what that pictures. We know who the rock is. It's Jesus Christ. He said He would give us living water. Like He told the woman at the well there in John chapter 4. He said, out of His belly shall flow rivers of living water. John 7, eternal life. God gives us all the nourishment we need. He gives us His own presence. He gives us eternal life. He gives us everything when we get saved. We have no place to then murmur that God's not going to nourish us. He always will. He will always meet that thirst. But it provokes Him. Then we find this turning point that God mentioned in Exodus 32 with the golden calf, which we read about there in Deuteronomy 9, the seventh provocation, verse 1 of Exodus 32. And the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount. The people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which are in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron, and received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Does it provoke the Lord when we look to man instead of God? Absolutely. And that's what happened. This same Moses that two or three times they've already seen, oh, we're mad at Moses. Oh, we want to get rid of Moses. As soon as they can't see Moses anymore, he's up on the mountain in a cloud. Oh, what are we going to do? Where's Moses? How are we going to survive without Moses? This man that we hate. But we got to have him, because we got to have somebody to look to. We got to have a man to look to. And as soon as they didn't have a man to look to, They said, well, we need something. And so Aaron made a golden calf. It's interesting that when Moses challenges Aaron later, Aaron's explanation was, well, I took everybody's gold and threw it in the pot and out came this calf. Just like that. This calf just came out. And it was all the people's fault. It definitely wasn't Aaron's fault. It was the people's fault. That's a whole different story. We provoke the Lord when we look to man instead of looking to God. The Bible says that it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man in Psalm 118:6. You cannot trust man. We have to trust the Lord and the Lord alone. We cannot look to our own resources. We cannot look to others. We must look to the Lord. What does it say when we look to man? That God can't take care of us. It comes down to the same thing, not trusting the Lord and getting angry when things don't go our way. All right, the next one's in Numbers chapter 11. Let's turn over there. Provocation number 8. There are exactly 10, as I mentioned. So here in Numbers chapter 11, Taberah, this is one of the ones that God mentioned. In verse 1, when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it. And his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the inmost parts of the camp. The people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. He called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. Well, that was not complicated. They just complained. It doesn't even say what they complained about. They've complained so many times. This time they just started complaining and God sent down the fire. And I think that it teaches that it provokes God to anger when we complain. And let's face it, a lot of things come into our lives that tempt us to complain. And that's when we need to decide, but I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I'm a child of God. God makes no mistakes. God's promised to meet all my needs. God's promised that all things work together for good. I don't have a place to complain. Because God's only going to allow in my life what's best for me. But they never had that attitude. It was complain, complain, complain. So they were not content with what God was providing. God wants us to be content with how He takes care of us because He'll always do it right. And then the next one's in Numbers 11 as well. Right after this, okay, God sends fire for complaining. You think they would learn. But in the next verse, verse 4, provocation number 9, when the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof is the color of bdellium. And then down in verse 10, then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Why? Because they began to lust. And we know how God answered this one. He sent so many quails that they got sick of it and were literally throwing up. And the people that went after them so heartily are the ones that died in the plague. But it provoked the Lord to anger when they lusted. And then the last one, number 10, is here in Numbers 14 and verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness, and wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make us a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Verse 10, but all the congregation, they'd stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. By the way, number 10, This was, the people were complaining because of the report of the spies. God had told them to go into the promised land. "This is your land," he said. "Yes, there's some other nations there, but with my help, you're going to conquer them. Go." And they sent the 10 spies. They came back. We know 8 spies said, "We can't do it. There's walled cities. There's giants." And this was their response: to weep and complain and murmur and say, "That's it. We might as well just go back to Egypt." So does it provoke the Lord when we won't trust Him and go into the promised land? What's the promised land picture? It doesn't picture heaven, despite what some of our hymns say, because you don't have to fight battles to get into heaven. It pictures the victorious Christian life that God wants us to experience. The abundant Christian life, as Jesus mentions in John 10. He says, "I came to give them life and life more abundantly." He wants us to go into the promised land and live for Him and serve Him and be a testimony for Him. But we have to fight some giants to do it. We have to fight some battles. God didn't just give them the land. God wanted them to fight for the land. But He was going to fight with them. And instead, they wouldn't go. And we know the result was the 40 years of wandering. And everybody over a certain age died. And then 2 old guys and a bunch of young people went into their promised land. Joshua and Caleb. What happened? Israel wouldn't trust God. And it provoked the Lord. Go to 1 Corinthians 10 if you would, quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. God recorded all this for us. Look at verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 10. "Moreover, brethren, I would not you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea and did all eat the same spiritual drink and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." A lot of us know verse 12, but do we understand the context is referring back to the 10 provocations of the nation of Israel? "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Look back at Israel's behavior. Look back at them provoking the Lord to anger over and over again. God initially being patient with them, God eventually having to punish them. But God instructs us here in 1 Corinthians, learn. He says in verse 11, they're examples. Learn from these examples, he says, how not to act as a believer. Don't provoke the Lord to anger as Israel did, but trust Him and believe Him. And think of what God can do with us if we would.